fifth lesson for this unit, the fifth and final lesson, and we are in the ninth lesson for the quarter. Today's lesson, which is titled A Test of Faith, a test of faith, is the final lesson in Unit 2. The final lesson in Unit 2. It comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. As is our custom, my sisters and brothers, if you will, please, ma'am and sir, we'll stand and read our golden text together, and then we'll move into the text for today. And if we are prepared, let us all read. God said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. Again, this being the final lesson in Unit 2, remember the title of Unit 2 is Maturing Faith. Maturing Faith. And so today we come to this final lesson, A Test of Faith. And moreover, we recognize and we realize as we watch the events as they have unfolded for Abraham, we can see where he has matured, just as you and I, as new believers. I believe I may have mentioned this on last Sunday. When you start out as a babe in the Christian walk, we're going to make mistakes. Remember, Abraham made several mistakes. He made a decision to try to get ahead of God's plan. Remember when he accepted the fact that Sarah at that time and he, Abram at that time, suggested that he go in with the maidservant. He also lied about Sarai being his sister. So we understand and recognize that as Christians in this walk, when we start out as a new believer, as our faith is being tested and developed, and as we are maturing, now Abram is 100 years of age. Abraham is 100 years of age when God gives him the ultimate test. Think about that. When he first became, when God first spoke to him, where he was then to where he is now. And I think Abraham demonstrates sincerity and genuineness of his faith. And we'll see this borne out in the text today. The author invites us to focus on two areas. One, an extremely hard thing to do. An extremely hard thing to do. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. What makes it extremely hard? Well, if you can imagine in your own mind, if God were to test your faith by asking you to offer up your son or your child. I guess another way to put it, not to evoke some sort of emotion from anyone, if this has been an experience that you've had in your life, that is, if you've ever lost a child, that is, God took that child away from you. Think about that experience. Think about the emotional anguish and strain that it had on you. And then number two, a decisive appearance of God. A decisive appearance of God. Genesis chapter 22, verses 7 through 14. In other words, we in the faith-based community, we in the body of Christ have coined the phrase, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. And throughout the lesson today in these 14 verses, God does show up. That is, we'll hear such things as, then an angel from heaven spoke to Abraham. And so God shows up at the place where he had told Abram to go to get himself there and to prepare Isaac for this sacrifice. And at the point of God recognizing how genuine and how sincere Abraham was in his obedience, he calls his name twice, and he does it suddenly, and he does it with great vigor. So then Abraham had to stop and respond. Amen. So we're going to see these things borne out in the text today. We tend to be possessive about our things and want to be in control of what we do in life. Not you, but me. I always want to be in control. Amen. Because I can't trust you, but I can't trust me. It is when God reaches into these areas that we become resistant. Uh-huh. You're thinking now, aren't you? Yeah, whenever God speaks to us and tells us that this is what he wants done and this is what he wants us to let go, we kind of do what? We hesitate. We're reluctant to let go because here it is, not you but me. I don't believe God can handle it the way I can handle it. I don't think he can do it the way I do it. Amen. Here it is. But when we understand that God's demands are for, listen to this, our good and respond with obedience, here it is. We come to know his blessings through the test. Don't ever, listen, a diamond cannot become a diamond if it does not go under and remain under pressure. And whatever the test is that God is putting us through, we must remain under the test in order to become what God's purpose and plan is on the other side of it. Think about it. A marathon runner who runs a 26.2 mile marathon doesn't quit at mile 13 and then pat himself on the back. Moreover, he can never know if he could have even finished the 26.2 if he what? Stops at mile 13 or even mile 25 for that matter. Amen. It's about Paul as he says, hey, listen, the race doesn't go to the swift or the strong, but to the one that does what? Endures until when? The end. Because on the other side of the end is where the blessing is. Amen. It's not in the middle. Matter of fact, you know, you sit in the classroom 6 weeks, whatever it is, and then the teacher says, there will be an end of course exam. And it's X percent of the grade. So if you don't take the exam after the 6 weeks, guess what? You've what? Failed. You failed. So, amen, we've got to learn to understand that when God comes and tests us, then he has a purpose, and there it is. Notice, God didn't tell Abram anything about where it was. He says, I will show you out. You just get up and go. Amen. And then out of his strict obedience, Abraham got up and went. Have you ever felt God's blessings finally becoming real only to have the rug suddenly pulled out from under your feet? Anybody ever been there? Not a good feeling, is it? That's why it's so important to know that when things are going well, that's your best time to give God your best praise and continue to remain connected and close to God, because you do know a test is indeed coming. And while you are being blessed, okay, and everything just seemingly going well, guess what's happening? Your faith is maturing so that when the test come, you won't lose your wits. You won't stress out. You won't become anxious. You'll be better prepared. You'll be a little more hardened, okay, for the test. Here's today's aim. The facts are these: to remember that God will allow us to be tested in order, here it is, to strengthen our faith in him. To strengthen our faith in him. That's very important. Don't put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in worldly things. But trust in God. Here's the principle: to see that these times of testing are not indications that he is punishing us or is angry with us. In my lifetime, I've heard some individuals say, as I alluded to earlier, you know, when God takes a loved one, how they were angry with God. They thought God were punishing them. God uses different ways and methods to do what? To test our faith. Notice, if God says to Isaac, I'm sorry, to Abraham, if he tells him, hey, listen, take your what? Your one and only son. And if he did it back then, why wouldn't he do it now? To test what? Where your faith is, and more importantly, is it in him? Remember, he's the one that what? Gave you the son or the child. He is the creator of life, is he not? So why would he not, or why should he not, test? Is your love more towards your son? Even in the second chapter of Genesis tells us this about verse 21 through about verse 25, where it says, and for this reason, a man must do what? Leave his mother and father. And do what? Cleave to his wife. God has to be always first place in all of our lives, forsaking all others, but understanding that God is first place. And so here's the application. To cling to God during times of testing and obey him at all times. When you are frantic, frenetic, because of events that are happening in your life, it's difficult for you to hear from God. Your mind is not in the right place. You get emotional. Not suggesting that in terms of that emotion, yes, we're going to cry. But how long? And remember, God always says when he shows up on the scene, fear not. That's reassurance, isn't it? Fear not. It's to help to settle you so that you can now hear from God. Amen. I love this. God tests us to give us an opportunity to show our true character. We think we know who we are. But God tests us to give us an opportunity to show our true character. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So let us begin the lesson here for today. Would someone please, ma'am or sir, read Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Yeah.
Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you.
Amen. Which version was that that you read from?
That was in
I'm sorry? NIV? Okay. Amen. Amen. Here it is. Remember, we're talking about an extremely hard thing to do. An extremely hard thing to do. And it came to pass after these things that God did what? Tempt. That word tempt in its literal translation means to test. For in James chapter 1, verse 13, it says, God does not tempt, neither can he be tempted. He does not tempt any man, neither can he himself be tempted. So that word there, tempt, in its translation means to test. So God tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. Verse 2, and he said, take now thy what? And then the next phrase is what? Thine only son. Thine only son. Now, we know that Abraham had another son, don't we? But what's happening here is we see a type of picture of Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 16, the A clause says, for God so loved the world that he did what? Gave his what? Only begotten son. This chapter, Genesis 22, is generally looked upon as a figurative picture of Christ. Why? Because even though Abraham had two sons, Ishmael was not the what? The son of promise. Isaac is the son of promise. Isaac, the son of promise. It is through Isaac that God made the covenant with Abraham. That his what? That his seed, he would not be able to what? To number the seed. Amen. So here it is. Watch this. Whom what? Whom thou what? Lovest. Anybody in here don't love their children? Even when they mess up. Even when they're 45. Behaving like they're 10. It's important to see the relationship here between a what? A father and a son. Notice, God and his son, his only begotten son. Amen. And get thee into the land of what? Now, remember this word, Moriah, and its importance. The importance of this word is that the meaning of the word Moriah is where the Lord provides, or where the Lord appears. Not only, as we get later into the text, did he not appear, but he also provided. At the point of which Abraham, the Bible says, had the knife in his hand and was getting ready. Amen. So, and he did what? And he says, and offer him what there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains. Did not tell him which mountain. He just says, which I will what? Tell thee of. A mountain which I will tell thee of. Expect your faith to be tested as well. Anyone here in the time since you first believed and you became a new believer in Christ, have you not grown? Or do you still believe that you're in the same place today as you were when you first believed? If you are, that's tragic. And why wouldn't you want to be tested? The Bible says, know ye not that ye are not your own, for ye are what? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is his. Therefore, why wouldn't you want to be tested? How then can you become what God needs you and wants you to become if you don't want to be tested? And that's how God does what? Mature us, grow us. That's how we get to where we can then now do what? Through the wisdom, that is godly wisdom, not man's. Yes, ma'am.
I was gonna say, just like kids or adults that act like kids, because they're comfortable in that particular age, they can act like area and somebody else is taking care of them or whatever. So I can see how a lot of people don't want to move forward.
And the tragic thing about that is this. We're talking about a relationship with God. In order for you to know who God is, you must mature. The only way that you can nurture your relationship with him is to whatever it is that he brings about in your life. No. Yet again, none of us are in control of our lives. We think we are. Here it is right here. Who woke you up this morning? When you laid down last night, you had no idea whether or not you were going to wake up this morning. And the more we understand that God is in control of the affairs of men, and I use that term generically for both genders, then the better we will understand that God wants us to grow. Notice, you're not always going to be with your parents, no matter how comfortable you are in having someone else, huh, to do everything for you, give you everything. No. We raise our children up to do what? To stand on their own two feet. Brother Montgomery.
Our parents were preparing us to leave home. The kids that are being raised today, and I'll include all six of mine in there, their idea is to stay under dad's rent and car and money as long as they possibly can. When I can remember, it's like, man, I left home at 17. I graduated from high school. I was like, I'm out, you know, because I thought I was grown. But I found out the door only swung one way. You wouldn't get your kids. But anyway, but we do our children a disfavor when we don't take them through some tests to make them grow, make them make grown-up decisions that they have to be accountable for the results. Mm-hmm. You know? Because
mm-hmm.
today, you know, like my kids, they don't have a problem. Well, they don't anymore. But initially, they would call and say, hey, Dad, you know, I can't pay my rent. So why are you calling me? You know? I mean, seriously, what if I were just, okay, I'll pay you. 2-3 months later, hey, Dad, guess what? You know, at some point, they have to be made uncomfortable so they will grow.
Amen. Amen. Thus, that's the reason that God tests us. Remember I said this earlier. God tests us to give us an opportunity to show our true character. You can't fold up the tent in the face of adversity and run away. Especially when it's something that, guess what, ultimately you have to go through. You've got to navigate it. You either do it now or later. Either way, you still got to go through. And more often than not, the longer you wait, the more difficult it becomes. It's best to just get under God and trust Him and wait on Him. This has the similarity of Job, doesn't it? Amen. The test will come. Again, it's about what? A maturing faith. And here's what James had to say, and have mercy, Lord. James says that, listen, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So we see Abraham responding obediently, demonstrating his faith, and then carrying out the work as an outpouring of his faith. Amen. The reality is that if you have faith, works will naturally be a product. You cannot get rid of works just because they do not save you. We understand that. Because we know the Bible over in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says what? For we are saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. But works are an outpouring of faith. You cannot sever the effect from the cause, because what? The cause is faith, but the effect is works. Is born out of faith. Faith and works are not enemies. True faith, righteous works, go hand in hand. They are two parts of God's, watch this, work in us. Everything God told Abraham to do, he was doing it as a result of what? God working in him to will and to do what God commanded him to do. Faith brings a person to salvation. We understand that. And watch this. Works bring that person to faithfulness. Every seat in this room right now should be filled. There shouldn't be a ministry in the church that is not overflowing, and perhaps we wouldn't have enough for everybody to do. Why? Oh, good segue. Thank you, Holy Spirit, into the reason why the pastor is going to do this series, I Am a Church Member. If you don't have the book, get it. A little small book. I like that. $7 from Amazon. The first door in there is between these two brothers, these two men, Michael and Liam. I'm not going to give it away. You read it. And that conversation that you will see in that first chapter of that little small book is the same thing that I see throughout our ministry. People focusing on the wrong thing and criticizing your church. But last Sunday, you wore the T-shirt that said, I love my church. So now, which one is it? Oh, she's got... But when you do buy the book, and I encourage you to do so, it's like, wow. But this is what's happening. Not only, it's not unique to Resurrection. This is across the country. This is across the country. Failing to realize that God has graciously given all of us as what? As flawed as we are. Do you think God is surprised? Absolutely not. Remember, his is about what? Love, mercy. I mean, Isaiah over in chapter 64 tells us our best efforts are nothing more than filthy rags. But God loves us, and he gives us an opportunity to demonstrate our love, and we do that by what? Serving others and loving others the way he commanded that we love them. Remember, I think a couple of the scriptures here that are given, related scriptures, that's one of them. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says, when we love the way God loves, we keep his what? His commandment. And his command is for you and I to love. John 13, 34, 35 says, by what? By this, all men may know that you are what? My disciples. So get in here and go to work. Don't try to explain it away and give excuses as to the reason why you're not here. And then your reasons are all hypocritical. All hypocritical. Amen. So lastly, here it is. Faith is the cause, works are the effect. Be thou faithful unto death. God honors faithfulness. He rewards faithfulness. Amen. Stay in the race. Don't give up. Amen. Most of us cannot see what God is doing for us when hard times come, but he is often testing our faith with what occurs. Abraham was left without an option. He couldn't give a half-hearted response like you and I. Not you, but me. Similar to what Moses did. Who? Me? I stutter. I stammer. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Do you not hear that when you approach folks within the ministry and you ask them to come be a part? Dog left home, cow ain't giving no milk, chicken ain't laying no eggs. That's the kind of response you get. And they never start out with, okay, let me see how I can juggle some things. Failing to realize, guess what? What you're doing outside of the church, who gives you the strength to do it? That little sorority you belong to? Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with a sorority, fraternity, whatever you civic organization you're a part of. Nothing wrong with that, but guess what? Who woke you up? Who gave you the job? And you didn't even bother this morning before you got out of bed to look up toward heaven and just say, thank you for one more day. That's a prayer. Some people think you got to get down on your knees and go through this 66 chapter. No. You pray anywhere. Anywhere, anytime. And some folks just don't know how to just tell God, thank you. But for one more day and for continuing to breathe life into your nostrils. Amen. You just ought to tell God, thank you. Amen. All right, please, ma'am or sir, verses 3 and 4.
Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early
Amen. Remember, we're talking about an extremely hard thing. What Abraham has been commanded to do by God had to certainly affected him in a very real sense. I'm sure that there was some ambivalence, some emotion, some anguish, some pain, sorrow. Watch this. It wasn't long ago, remember, that God commanded him to do what? Cast out Hagar and Ishmael. I'm sure that was still lingering, resonating in his mind, still weighing heavy on his heart. And now then to be commanded, to do what? Take your one and only son, whom thou lovest. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but watch this. John MacArthur, in his exposition in the Nelson commentary, says that, and many of the theologians say that no one really knows how old Isaac was, but John MacArthur, I don't know where he got his data from, but he suggests that Isaac was 20 years of age. Doesn't sound like he's a boy to me. I just heard Brother Montgomery say, when I was 17, I cut sling, and I didn't realize the door only swung one way. So this is a 20-year-old man, adult, and watch how he behaves in the text. That's significant. Both he and Abraham are doing what? Demonstrating obedience. And evidently, Isaac had some relationship with God because obviously he's the son of Abraham. So I'm sure his father was teaching him about God, who God is, and to honor God and to obey God. Wait till we get there. You'll see it. Remember, this drama is very real. And if we bring it to our doorsteps, we'll note that it has been real in our lives. If you've ever had an encounter with God, if you've ever experienced anything in your life that's remotely associated with God, you can understand. You can see what's clearly happening here and why it's so important not to give up. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. The darkest hour, it said, is what? Just before day. And moreover, when you get down on your knees and pray and turn the situation over to God, whatever you do, saints of God, don't pick it back up. If you give it to God, leave it there. We sing songs, bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Amen. Amen. So here it is. Notice, here it is again. Here it is again. It's said twice. We see it in verse number 2. We see it again here in verse number 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took of his two young men with him. And who? Isaac, his son. We saw it back in verse 2 where it says, take now thy what? Son, thine only son, Isaac. And the Bible says right here, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Now, it took him 3 days to come to the place. Theologians, through their historical research, said that was roughly about 75 mile journey. Now, Isaac had plenty of time to break off. His father is 100 years old. I'm not so sure that at 100, if Isaac had chosen, to cut sling, that Abraham would have been able to catch him. Amen. He lifted up his eyes, that is, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. Tests in the Christian life build a mature Christian character when we persevere. If you want your character to be developed and nurtured such that your faith matures, you must be tested. God is going to test you. Peter, Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Peter, I'm not so sure you heard me. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. No. God asked him how many times? Matter of fact, the Bible says Peter became what? Angry, frustrated. See, see, see? So it is. Think about that. You know, you ask your children, boy, do you love me? Because the only time they seem to love you is when what? When they need, when they have a need. Otherwise, they won't pick up the phone. And matter of fact, even if you don't want to talk to me, you can just send me a text. Just say, I love you. You won't even do that. However, on the other side, from our position, as I asked the question earlier, who in here having children, no matter their age, do not love their children? Amen. And now, imagine, put yourself in Abraham's shoes. You've already cast out one son, and now you're being told to sacrifice another. What things would go on inside your mind? What kind of feelings would be evoked as a result of having been commanded? More importantly, he's commanded by God. Not some other human being who doesn't have the power over life and death, but by God. It's something to think about, is it not? And verse 5, let us read together. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Listen, don't miss this. That last phrase, notice what it says. What does it say? Man, if that in faith, I don't know what is. He didn't say I. You don't, does anyone see I in there? I don't see it. I'm trying hard. But he says, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and what? And come again to you. Not himself. That's faith. He'd been walking with God for how long? Way back in chapter 12. That's 20 plus years, 25 plus years. Look at the maturation that's taking place in Abraham's life. His faith is so bolden, or he's so bolden in his faith, that he makes a declaration. We're going to go there and worship, and we'll come again to you. Amen. I like that. That blesses me. That lets me know that I too, in the face of difficulty, adversity, and challenge, and trial, and testing, as the songwriter says, I shall come through as what? Pure gold. You, man, you got to hang in there. So you got a difficult command in verses 1 and 2, and then now we see what? Instant obedience in verses 3 and 4. Notice, he did not, we see nowhere in the text where there's dialogue between Abraham and what God had commanded him to do. The Bible says right here, it says it right here, right here. And Abraham rose up when? Early in the morning. Saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. I mean, straightway. When confused or afraid, ask God to strengthen you for the next step of faith. I talked about that earlier. Some people just get frantic, lose their wits, become so emotionally overwhelmed. When that happens, you can't think straight. Notice, he says, ask God to strengthen you. God is a, what? A refuge in the time of trouble, a very present help, right? Listen, Ah, Lord. Trust God. Lean not to thine own understanding. Trust that God knows. He does know the end from the beginning. He is the Alpha and the Omega. There's nothing. He is an all-knowing God. Amen. We've got to learn to trust him and be obedient. Don't do things half-heartedly. Don't do things reluctantly. Remember, God knows our heart. That's what he's always watching and looking at. Here it is. Here it is. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Obedience is better than sacrifice. When you fail to obey God, you do know that there will be consequences. How many of you, when your children were younger, you gave them a command to do A, B, C, and D, and when they didn't do it, did you just let them get away with that, or was there some repercussion? Was there some punishment associated with, the behavior? There has to be. It's called discipline. Amen. Here it is. Instant obedience. Ah, Lord. Our faith is not really tested until God asks us to bear what seems unbearable. Do what seems unreasonable. See, when we try to process it in not yours but mine, in my finite mind, we think it's unreasonable. Why would God ask me to do that? We have all these questions. To the extent that some of us go to others, and more often than not, we fail to go to another sister or brother in Christ. We go to a joker that ain't got no God in their life, no heaven in their view, and start talking to them about what God told us to do and ask them, what you think? Yeah, do what seems unreasonable. And watch this. And expect what seems impossible. There it is again. Boy, that message is still indelibly written in my spirit. Lord have mercy, his name escapes me, that preached on the second Sunday, where he talked about they prayed what? Exclusively? Entirely? And then they what? They prayed expectantly. When you pray, believe that God is going to do what you've asked of him. He says, anything you ask in my name and believing by faith, it shall be done. But more importantly, pray in his will now. Don't just pray some selfish prayer. Ask God, if, Lord, am I in your will? If this is what you, is this what you want from me? Amen. Oh, Lord, this is going to bless you right here. We live by promises, not by explanations. God never explains, nowhere throughout the 66 books of the Bible, why he does what he does. He never explains it, does he? Watch this. He even says, go to the mount that I'll show you when you get there. I just need you to go. But here we go. Watch this. This is man. On your job, in your home with your children, even now, most of us, our grandchildren now, we say, Amika, you know, because they got all these names for children today, you know, and we say, do this, this, and this. And they stand back at 2 years of age and say, why? When I was growing up, my parents says, because I said so. Mama tell you one time. And if you didn't do it, You went out to the peach tree, got the switch, but you got the smallest one you could get. And she said, boy, that ain't a switch. And then she go get one. And she go get one that you could be over by the door, it reach you. Amen. We live by, listen, God keeps his promises. The Bible says he is not slack concerning his promises, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. 1 Peter 3:9. Amen. He's not slack. God keeps his promises. Amen. All right. Someone please, ma'am or sir, read verses. Let's see where we're going to go. 6 through 8. Verses 6 through 8 of Genesis chapter 22. Stop right there. Notice, there it is again for the third time, right? Upon Isaac, his son, all right?
And he took a sword and a knife, and they went both of them together. Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood.
Amen. Thank you so much. So here's what we're seeing now as we look at verses 6 and 8. We see a settled determination. A settled determination. We already talked about in verse 5 where Abraham, when he spoke to his two men, he did not use the word I will come again. He says, we'll come again. My son and I, we're going to go over here to worship. And we'll come again to you. He's determined. We see no hesitation on the part of Abraham in what God had asked him to do in the way of sacrificing his son, Abraham. So you see the word Isaac, the son, his son, his only son, the son that he loveth, which is to show us the difficulty that it must have been for Abraham. He's looking at his son. And then my question would be, too, what self-restraint? Because we don't know. Bible doesn't tell us whether or not he was crying, shedding tears. How would I have reacted? What kind of emotional response would it have evoked from us if God were to place such a command on us? Every indication in the text thus far clearly points out that Abraham was determined to obey God. And then we get to the point to where, watch this, and we're moving as we transition into verses 7 through 14. Watch this. We see a decisive appearance of God because Isaac finally figured it out. He finally figured it out. Listen what he says. It says right here in verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father. Now, the first six verses, we see no dialogue. Not recorded. None. He never asked for where we're going. What are we going to do when we get there? Now, he's familiar with the preparations of a sacrifice. I'm sure he was. He's 20 years old. His father was sacrificing burnt offerings to God. He knew firewood and a knife meant what? Somebody's going to die. Something's going to die. Amen. But we see no dialogue between them until verse 7. And he says, as it states here, my father, and he said, here am I. This is Abraham responding to him. Notice, this is what he said. Here am I. And what does Abraham say? My son. Look at the intimacy. And you can hear the calm passion and compassion toward his son. And he said, behold, that is Isaac, the fire and the wood. But here's the bigger question. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? So Isaac has figured it out. And then listen how Abraham responds. This really, I think, is the antithesis of his faith. He says, and Abraham said, my son. What did he say? God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Notice early on in the text, verse 2, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Moriah means what? God will provide, or God appears. Look at Abraham's faith in verse 8. And then so much it says right here, so they went both of them, how? One went one way, one went the other. No, they both went together. Together. Here it is. There will be some tests that a believer will face with no one else but God. And if you've been following the Lord for a long time, I know that you've had those moments when you had to get along with God and hear God's voice and him telling you what to do. Here it is. God will supply every resource for what he asks you to do. There's nothing that God is going to ask of you, command of you, for which he will not give you the resources to do it. Moses, what do you have in your hand? A rod. Stretch out your, use what you got. Stop crying and whining about what you don't have and use what you already have. People cry about, they want. And then they, my God shall supply all my need. Well, if you understand that, you have everything you need. It doesn't say he will supply what you want. He supplies everything that you need. Use what you have. Amen. Use what you got. All right. As we move to a close, let's read together the remaining six verses here, verses 9 through 14. And if you prepare, let's read. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, mine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Amen. So, we're talking about a decisive appearance of God. We see Isaac's question about the sacrifice, and then it shifts, and we see Isaac's submission in verses 9 and 10. Remember, he's an adult. And so we see obedience yet again on the part of Isaac, permitting himself to be bound by his father. And more importantly, obviously, we see also an uncommon faith on Isaac's part in believing and trusting his father, just as Abraham is trusting God. And then we shift and we see Isaac's salvation. Again, it is figurative, symbolic. Notice, here it is right here. It says it right here. An angel of the Lord called out of heaven, verse 11, and said, Abraham, Abraham. Suddenly, he's already on the altar. It's symbolic of Jesus Christ. God's one and only begotten Son. The Bible says he was made a propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation means simply to appease, an atonement. You and I don't have the capacity to die for someone else's sin. Why? Does anyone know why? Because we are sinners ourselves. The lamb which was slain was unspotted, unblemished, and no one fit the description other than God's one and only begotten Son. Amen. Who was slain for your and my salvation. Ah, Lord, help us today. And then lastly, we see Isaac's substitute, and that substitute was the ram in the thicket, for which when the angel of heaven called out to Abraham, Abraham says, "Here am I." And then the Bible says he looked up. See, the call on your name causes you to do what? To pause. And you look around, especially when you can't see the person that's calling you, right? We look around. So when he looked around, he sees the ram. He had earlier said in verse 8 that what? That God will what? Provide the sacrifice. Amen. Boy, this is a beautiful picture, isn't it? Beautiful picture. Have mercy, Lord. Have we not all been in situations when we desperately needed God to act, but he continued to delay? Such a test of our faith is extremely difficult. But we see later on that God is trustworthy. He comes to our aid in his, watch this, his perfect timing. And after we have been forced to grow in our faith, God wants us to grow. God doesn't want us to remain spiritual babes. Peter talks about that. He says, when you should be eating meat, you still desire the sincere milk of the word. Babies love milk. They don't have teeth. See, they can't chew meat. We have some Christians in the body of Christ that can't stand meat because they want to remain spiritual babes. They don't want to be tested. It was said earlier, they just don't want to be uncomfortable. Don't make me uncomfortable. I sit here in the same seat every Sunday. Please don't change the room around. Amen. God indeed had provided himself a sacrifice he was asking Abraham to make. Amen. Here it is right here. Just as God was with Abraham, he is also always with us. There is nothing that we go through that God is not in control of. We simply need to trust him to care for us at all times. The symbolic resurrection of Isaac was a foreshadowing. The actual resurrection of Jesus was the ultimate fulfillment of God's covenant promise. Amen. Do you receive it today, my sisters and brothers? Amen. God bless you today. Thank you so much. That's my time.